Rock Radio. The greatest hits of the 60s and 70s. SkyPilotRadio.com.
The fight for the future is now. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Welcome to The War Room. I am Tom Pappard, editor-in-chief of NationalFile.com, and I'll be filling in for Owen today. We have a lot on the agenda. So far, the news today has been absolutely clown world. As usual, as it seems to be, it's not getting any better, but at least the clown world is not getting any worse. In fact, there's a couple positive indications. President Trump reportedly is responding to criticism from Tucker Carlson and others on the right against some of the recent campaign decisions, and perhaps even some people who are feeding him advice close to him in the administration. So it's good proof, it's good evidence that the president is happy and willing and able to listen to constructive criticism, something that I think a lot of us were holding our breaths to find out. There's been an update in the horrible shooting that happened yesterday, where, of course, a vehicle is just driving down the street in Utah trying to get through an intersection only to be mobbed by Black Lives Matter protesters. Well, now the individual who shot at the vehicle, police say they've got a suspect in custody. That's not the only news for Black Lives Matter and Antifa, this unholy twin power that seems to be taking the country over. Seattle police have finally done it. They have recaptured Chaz Chop for the United States of America. No word yet from the UN on whether or not this international political situation, this occupation of foreign soil in downtown Seattle, is sanctioned. Joe Biden, of course, says he's done with rallies. There will be no more rallies through the entire 2020 election. I guess he's done. He's checking out. He thinks he's won already. It'll be interesting to see whether or not that actually bears out, or whether these phony polls wind up being exactly that phony. Meanwhile, of course, a lot of folks are already looking forward to the 4th of July, to Independence Day. Those of us in somewhat more free states might even be planning to go check out some fireworks displays. Well, if you live in the extremely unfree city of Chicago, which of course just marked its most violent weekend in, I think, 60 years, over 100 people shot from what I read, Chicago has canceled its Independence Day fireworks. You see, that would just be too dangerous during the time of COVID-19. You can't risk something like that. But don't worry, because if you can rebrand whatever your event is as a protest, it's actually good to go in Chicago. They turned a LGBTQ pride rally into, yes, you guessed it, maybe, I don't know how you would guess this actually, a Black Trans Lives Matter protest. Basically the same LGBTQIA+++P protest that happens, or march that happens every year. But this year, it was a protest. And then we've got big Bill Gates news. Bill Gates himself, the man who is on record as having predicted a horrible pandemic all the way back in 2015. Well, Bill Gates says more pandemics are coming. That's his dire prediction for the world. And Bill Gates says that if we want to have globalism the way we do today, then we need a one world response, a global response, if you will. China, the United States, Iran, we should all be working together and singing Kumbaya when this next pandemic approaches.
Be a vaccine.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be that swine flu thing that's been going around in China. So don't go away. We have a big 3 hours for you here on The War Room. Just a quick reminder before we have a very short break. It is the 4th of July Super Sale on InfoWarsStore.com. There are new deals being added to the Super Sale every single day. You can get up to 60% off your order with free shipping and double Patriot points. Some of the prices are absolutely unbelievable. Bodies, now 50% off. I am a big fan of Bodies. If you can take that instead of an Advil or an Aleve and get the same effect, why not? If your body will allow it, it's way better for you. DNA Force Plus, big fan. Ultra 12, I can't believe how sweet that is to this day. Survival Shield X2, that's of course the classic. You need to get the good iodine, as well as storable food is back in stock. And believe me, folks, if they get what they want, if they get this second pandemic, if they get this second wave, this second lockdown, if Bill Gates' prediction comes true, you're going to want that storable food. Don't go away. You're watching The War Room. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Tom Papert, filling in for Owen Troyer on today's broadcast of The War Room. It's official. Chaz Chop is no more. It was a 22-day experiment, an anarcho-syndicalist commune nestled in the busy streets of downtown Seattle. Of course, they were still entirely dependent on Seattle for everything from food to electricity to water to somebody to clean out the porta-potties. But it was autonomous. It may or may not have had a warlord. He denies it, but a lot of people seem to think that Solomon Raz Simone, who got $80,000 from the city of Seattle, who was recorded on video dishing out beatdowns and handing out rifles throughout Chop Chaz, it seems to be he was a warlord. They, of course, had some kind of weird governing council that met with Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin. I'm not sure how an anarcho-syndicalist commune nestled in the streets of downtown Seattle has a leadership board, but they did. They continually met with the mayor, but today, finally, at 2 in the morning, it was announced, and then at 5 in the morning, it happened. CHOP was dismantled, destroyed. The police went in vast numbers. They simply walked in, though. It appears Warlord Raz's army was taking a nap. I don't know. Maybe they didn't hear about any white supremacists in the neighborhood that night. So they just decided to stay home and sit this one out, because as police entered the 6-block autonomous zone, or formerly autonomous zone, they received absolutely no pushback. 13 people were arrested, but by and large, the police walked in, went to their East Precinct building that had been abandoned at the orders of higher up government officials, potentially Mayor Jenny Durkin. They walked into their precinct building, they resumed operation, and they began clearing out the 6-block area. Something that a lot of folks don't understand is they actually, the citizens of CHOP, who the jury's still out on whether or not they can be reacclimated into the United States, or if, like ISIS, we may have to figure out another solution, but the people of CHOP were, by and large, living in a tent community in a park. Some were homeless by choice, meaning they could have lived in a real house outside of CHOP within the borders of Seattle, but they chose to pick up a tent and start a new life in the autonomous zone. Of course, many of them are not homeless by choice, and instead were homeless people simply trying to live and exist in CHOP, where there was free food and a great-looking garden there at the end, so perhaps they had something going for them. And that is what seems to have taken the police the most time. They slowly went through the entire CHOP zone, this park, where you were not allowed to record video. If you went to this part of CHOP and tried to record video, the CHOPistanis would see to it that you were escorted out immediately. They went through this zone. They kicked people out of their tents. They sent them out of the 6-block perimeter. But don't worry, because Seattle is being very kind to the area it now occupies, or perhaps reoccupies. They're going to allow anybody who lost their personal belongings as a result of the daring 5 a.m. raid, they're going to allow them to simply contact the city, Seattle's Department of Health and Human Services, and they can get their stuff back. So that'll be great for the former CHOPistanis as they're reacclimated into American society. Now, how on earth, this is everybody's question, how did this last 22 days? They were out of food on day one. They began subsisting on Domino's and fruit cup packets and high C after about day two. They had a warlord going around issuing beatdowns from about day three. They had 10 shootings, from my understanding, or 10 people shot just in the past week or so. A 22-day experiment and having no cops, no police, no prisons, no anything. And it was an abject failure. You do have to wonder what finally motivated Mayor Jenny to act. to allow that poor chief of police, Carmen Best, who already is an insane person. She's been on the record before saying that Seattle is going to police microaggressions and other insane nonsense like that. But even she was wanting to get back into the CHOP zone to retake it for Seattle on day one. In fact, she never wanted to leave it. But it apparently Mayor Durkin, or perhaps the illustrious governor of Washington, decided that it would be best to leave CHOP to fester for 22 days. And while I personally believe we should have done something, send in the National Guard, do something to help the people who live there, who work there, who are not willing participants in CHOP, no, it festered. And Americans got to mock it for 22 days. If there's one good thing about the existence and now destruction of CHOP, it's to show exactly how stupid and gullible and ridiculous our opponents are, and how easy it is to beat them with just a little bit of effort. Again, there was no fight. They didn't fire their rifles that they got from Raz at the police. There were no beatings. No officers were shoved. 13 people were arrested because they refused to obey the mayor's order to vacate the area. That was it. Extremely easy. They swept through them. You know, if it's that easy to enforce the law in this country, maybe we should just do it all across the country. The people vandalizing statues. The people blocking the intersection. The people shooting at vehicles as they try to get through downtown Provo, Utah. Well, so far in Provo, Utah, it looks like we might actually get something approximating justice, because the police have a suspect in the shooting that occurred yesterday, that horrible shooting that saw, I mean, it was absolutely disgusting. The guy is trying to drive through a street. His vehicle gets mobbed by Black Lives Matter, who are rioting, who are being a nuisance in the middle of the street. They run over, they block his vehicle. He tries to drive through. A man opens fire and shoots twice, leaving the driver injured. He wasn't critically injured and was able to drive himself to the hospital, thankfully. But police now have arrested the man they say is responsible. We've got the article up at nationalfile.com. Jesse Taggart is the man police have identified being behind the crime. He was arrested and charged with attempted aggravated murder after the shooting. This man is known to be part of Black Lives Matter. He's known to have an affinity with these rallies. And the tactic that allowed him to go on this shooting is a common tactic. It all started in 2016. And even earlier than that, you can go back to 2014. Protesters block highways. They block roads. They say that this is to make you, the person being inconvenienced, understand what it's like to have your political issues, your entire racial group sidelined, and that you deserve to have a 5-minute inconvenience so you can have a brief glimpse into the injustice faced by people of color, women, LGBTQIAA, and other minorities in this country. It's only right that you should have to deal with this. But we've now seen what happens. I've seen it with my own two eyes, where they will slap vehicles who try to drive through. They will pull people out of vehicles in some cases, as we've seen now at least once during these George Floyd riots. They pull you out of the vehicle. They beat you. And now, in this case, they shoot the guy. But it's already a crime to stand in the street. This person never had to be shot at. This person never had to go to the hospital. The police don't need to now be charging someone with murder. If they were allowed to simply get the degenerates out of the street, we never would have had this issue. And so even now that we, of course, have President Trump pushing these laws to protect statues, we have police across this country starting to get a little bit of support, even as the Atlanta police officer is now facing the death penalty, it's starting to turn around just a bit. But we're not going to see anything like law and order in this country when, if me and you, the viewer, if we were to go walk down the streets of Austin, Texas, and block it and say it's because Blue Lives Matter and we want President Trump to win, we would be handcuffed and hauled away. The same standard should apply for the other side as well. The same standard should apply for the Marxists, for the Leninists, for the communists, for the people who describe themselves as communist organizers. That would be Black Lives Matter. They should have to play by the same rules as American patriots. When we come back, we're going to get into what's going on with the president right now. I'm getting very encouraging messages being sent. There's been encouraging reports published. I think President Trump may be turning back into the 2016 Donald Trump that we elected. Later on, we'll have an interview with Patrick Howley to discuss Bill Gates' latest plan for the world. He is in charge, you know. He predicted coronavirus, and he's going to bring us the vaccines to cure it. Don't go away. The War Room will be right back. I'm Tom Papert, filling in for Owen Schroyer.
We need to get back to the land, back to self-sufficiency, and back to being prepared. And the way to start, ladies and gentlemen, is having friends and family with a bug-out plan if there is a total collapse and water filtration and food to last you at least a few months. And the food we have is very high quality. It's in great containers that are great to be mobile. They have wide selections, special diets, you name it. It's the best price you're going to find, but you need to get the orders in now in the lull before the storm. I told you lockdown 2 was coming. The New World Order is making its move. Whether Trump loses or wins, things are just going to get more crazy, and this food lasts 25 years inside the containers. So it's something you can hide, something you can bury, something you know is an ace in the hole for you and your family in the future. And the little bit of profit that comes in funds the InfoWar to continue to warn the people. So you're also funding InfoWars, the most powerful Paul Revere organization in the world, because it's powered by you. 2020 is a very special year to the globalists, to the occultists, to those that are into esoteric mysticism. And they believe this is the year they're going to totally overthrow America and the world and bring in their anti-God, anti-human tyranny. Well, we're here on air, and we just ask you all to realize that we're in opposition to this evil and that only your word of mouth helps us reach new people. And I want to salute you all and thank you for your support. And I also want you to know that our 4th of July once-a-year mega sale is here. And we've got a bunch of stuff at 50 to 60% off right now. But Bodies, our ultimate turmeric formula. This is a turmeric extract, one of the strongest ones out there. It's so good for your body, so good for your joints, so good for your cells. It is now back in stock, sold out for over 3 months, and it is at 50% off. DNA Force Plus is back in stock. It's 50% off as well. Check it all out at InfoWarsStore.com. And remember, your funding of our operation makes it all possible. Plus, these are great things that God designed for you and your family's bodies. Please take action.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
There's no hiding that there's been a lot of disagreement within the Republican Party and even the Trump coalition over the past few months over the direction of both the administration and the campaign. We've seen some limited actions against big tech. We now have the president enforcing a federal law making it illegal to destroy statues throughout the United States of America. And there's reports that President Trump is being pushed even further into this direction of really taking an approach to his 2020 campaign more similar to that of 2016. We, of course, had the rally recently, which, by all accounts, Antifa did prevent people from entering. There was a ridiculous medical screening where you had to have your forehead touched with a thermometer in order to get in. You had to wear a mask. In line, they would hand you a mask, and you would have to wear that mask until the said forehead touching was done. What on earth this accomplished, I have no idea. To me, all the accounts sound like it was more of a virtue signal, so the media and the Democrats would complain slightly less about the rally. But the stadium was not filled. The arena was not filled to capacity, and reports on the ground say that the enthusiasm was faltering until President Trump started talking about big tech, started talking about the riots, started talking about the lockdowns that are now threatening to go into part two. It was rather disappointing until he got into those parts. And by all accounts, President Trump is recently, at least, been listening almost exclusively to his son-in-law when it comes to the campaign, when it comes to what to do in the administration. That's, of course, Jared Kushner, husband of Ivanka Trump, who really pushed to make criminal justice reform happen, the First Step Act. Well, let me preface all of this by saying I don't think Jared Kushner is a bad person. I certainly don't think Ivanka Trump is a bad person. I think that they've had a very, very comfortable lifestyle. I think that they've lived in areas where you are expected to be a trendy liberal individual. And if you are not, you're going to be ostracized. I think that they really don't like being ostracized from the people who they used to consider their friends. And so they're trying to do these things like criminal justice reform that may or may not be better for the country and may or may not help win President Trump a second term. I don't recall even once throughout the 2016-2015 even campaign President Trump saying that he would pursue criminal justice reform. That's one thing I don't think ever came out of his mouth. And now a new report indicates that after watching Tucker Carlson and ostensibly other people who have been critical of the campaign's recent media and President Trump's recent decisions, the new report indicates that President Trump reportedly regrets going along with Jared Kushner's woke agenda. The full article's up at nationalfile.com. And it was reported this morning that sources inside the White House say President Trump wants no more of Jared's woke you-know-what. This comes after weeks of abysmal polling for the administration that, again, we don't know. It's going to take some time for us to find out if these polls are fake or if President Trump's enthusiasm is waning. Trump reportedly now realizes that going along with Kushner's police reform and criminal justice reform initiatives hurt him politically. Kushner's push for policy alignments with Democrat causes such as Black Lives Matter may now face resistance from the president, particularly after Kushner was, of course, called out by name by Fox News host Tucker Carlson just recently. And Tucker really pulled no punches when it came to bashing Jared Kushner. And this is a landmark moment. I've been told by people who I cannot reveal who they are, but they are very high up in some think tanks that push America First reforms. And I've been told repeatedly, the one thing you can never, ever do if you want to be listened to by President Trump, if you want something you write or you produce or you create to ever make it to the Oval Office and actually be seen by the president, you can never mention Jared. You can never mention Ivanka. And so this was an interesting moment when Alex Jones, he was previously mentioned this, and Tucker Carlson brought up Jared Kushner on television. This was an opportunity for the president to either perhaps see that, yes, his son-in-law may be very intelligent, may be very good at what he does, but he may not have his pulse on the base. He may not know what Americans who elected President Donald Trump in 2016 want out of him in the 2020 campaign. Or the president could have just shut down and said, no, this is criticism of my family. It's an attack on the Trump family, on the Trump name, on my daughter. How dare you? And it seems as though President Trump is listening. That's extremely encouraging for, I think, everybody. As we all remember, the campaign was extremely nimble in 2016. Nobody knew who was running the campaign from week to week, and campaign veterans like Paul Manafort and Roger Stone say nobody was running the campaign. The president runs himself. That's what we need in 2020. That's what we elected in 2016. And by the way, the president isn't alone, of course, in listening to Tucker Carlson. He's been having the most popular, most widely viewed cable broadcast, not just news, not just conservative, cable broadcast out of all time. He's been getting Fox its biggest numbers. So there's a lot of folks out there right now who want the message that Alex Jones brings, who want the message that Tucker Carlson brings, who want the populist, pro-human, America first, nationalism, not globalism message that the president really ran on in 2016. And those who are a little bit disappointed in him, or at least around the edges, we identify everything that's been done that's good, but we also see room for improvement. Our voices apparently will be listened to. So don't let anybody on the right or the left tell you that you're not allowed to criticize members of the administration. You're not allowed to criticize the president. We all have his best interests in heart. We all want this country to succeed. We want the president to succeed. We want to make America great again and then keep it great for all time. But we cannot devolve into a group of yes men in the attempt to do so. And by the way, another precious moment, or prescient, I should say, moment from Tucker Carlson. Again, his show is getting 5 million plus views every single night for a reason. We're going into this more in the next segment. But Tucker recently pointed out that, you know, of all these historical statues that are now being canceled, that are now racist, nobody's really mentioned Gandhi, the leader from India. Nobody's mentioned that. But Muslims see him as a Hindu nationalist. There's reports that he did sexually untoward things with young girls. But nobody's calling for Gandhi's removal. What happens if we do call for Gandhi's removal? Will he be toppled? Will he go away? Well, CSU Fresno has now got a petition to find out. They want Gandhi removed. Gandhi is not PC. And he must be removed from the campus. A Hindu nationalist, a terrible person, just like George Washington, just like Thomas Jefferson, just like Abraham Lincoln, just like everybody up on Mount Rushmore. They're all racist now. They must be destroyed. History is over. Woke history begins today. In the next hour, we're going to talk to Patrick Halley. We're going to go into detail on Bill Gates' plan and Fauci, the puppet, how he's going to help. Later on, we might take your calls in the third hour. Don't go away. I'm Tom Papert, filling in for Owen Schroyer on The War Room. We'll be right back.
When I thank the listeners of this broadcast, I'm not patting you on the head. I'm like a person that's been thrown overboard who finds a life raft to get on or a piece of driftwood. I am clinging to you. So when you call into the show and thank me, listen, I'm thanking you too. We are in this together. Now, I try to bring you things that I know are amazing that have helped me and my family. So you get a great response. You order again. I treat you like I want to be treated. It's not a science. It's not a plan. It's just the way to do it. It's just common sense. And if you get one product, it's Bodies. Now, our big 4th of July super sale is going right now through 4th of July. And Bodies has been sold out for over 3 months. It's now back in stock. It is the strongest turmeric concentrate we could find out there. It may be the strongest on the market. Somebody might have one stronger. We don't know about it, or we'd have it. It is back in stock at 50% off. I want to encourage you all to get Bodies Ultimate Turmeric Formula while you still can. 50% off for the 4th of July. And find the InfoWar at InfoWarStore.com. I salute and thank you all.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
The American way of life is under attack.
This is The War Room.
Share this message right now at band.video.
Welcome back. This is The War Room. I'm Tom Papert, editor-in-chief of National File, filling in today for Owen Schroyer. And there's a brand new article. The Republicans are doing something. It's not good, as you might have expected. GOP senators, remember, we control the Senate, are now proposing replacing Columbus Day with Juneteenth as a federal holiday. They're saying that they're doing this in an attempt to save money. You see, we want to make Juneteenth a federal holiday now. That's, of course, Emancipation Day, the day when the slaves were freed by President Lincoln. So we want to make Juneteenth a federal holiday, but we don't want to drive up that budget. You know, we've put trillions on the budget in the fight against COVID-19. We've had endless forever wars in the Middle East that have just been soaking up that budget. We need to keep our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan and send some to Syria while we're at it. But while we're doing all that, we got to make sure to balance this budget. And to do that, we're going to strip Christopher Columbus. We're going to take him off the history books, and instead we'll put Juneteenth in. This is your Republican Party. This is the grand old party, the Republican leadership, Republican Senators Ron Johnson and James Lankford. These are the people who are now destroying your history. It's not just the mob on cable television, on InfoWars, destroying a statue in some historic city throughout the United States. No, this is extended. This is the Republican Party, and this is where the criticism that is levied at Trump, sometimes unfairly, this is where it comes from. We have a Republican Party now that is not interested in conserving anything. They're not interested in conserving history. They're not interested in conserving American values. They're really not interested in anything except getting elected, getting more money. Yes, Republican senators and Republican congressmen do it too. You get elected, you make your set salary every single year, but while you're in office, you become fabulously, fantastically wealthy, and all of us Americans are just supposed to sit like a bunch of hayseeds and wonder, well, how'd that happen? But this is our Republican Party. These are the people who are fighting for you, or at least that's what we're led to believe. Every 2 years or every 4 years when they come up for election, that's what they tell us. They're fighting for our history. They're fighting for our Second Amendment, our First Amendment. They're fighting for our privacy rights. They're fighting to bring the troops home. They're fighting for the troops. But in reality, they're perfectly willing to work with Democrats. They're perfectly willing to advance a Democrat agenda. In fact, I think that if the Democrats had proposed striking Columbus Day and bringing in Juneteenth, they would have thought that was a step too far. That's bad strategy. You don't need to get rid of Columbus Day so long as we get the new holiday. No, the Republicans instead, in an effort to save money, they want to do that. We're still printing toilet paper bills. We still have the Federal Reserve money printer going at full speed. There's no end to the spending. We just spent a bunch on the military. We just spent a bunch on this. We want a new war. We want this. But this is what's important. There's a reason why Americans are becoming disillusioned with the Republican Party. And this is what I think President Trump is starting to understand, because what it comes down to when you have the party doing things like this, this is the part of government we control. We have a majority in the Senate. We should be able to do what we want. We should be able to be intelligent. We should be the voice of reason. Instead, we're giving the Democrats more of what they want. If President Trump has just a little bit less enthusiasm than he had in 2016, he won't win. In a lot of swing districts and swing states, he didn't win by millions of votes. In a couple situations, he won by a few thousand, maybe 2,000, maybe 150,000, maybe 10,000, maybe 500. It was very, very slim in a lot of these swing states and swing districts. So the fact is, President Trump's base may be 95% there. But if that 5% of the base who looks at President Trump saying one thing on Twitter and appearing to be a strong and effective leader, but then they look at the Republican Party, which Trump overwhelmingly endorses, and they see that the Republican Party is now the party of erasing history and taking down offensive statues, and they think, well, why am I voting for Trump? Trump is one man in the middle of a very deep, very murky swamp. He can't even control his own party, which he took over in 2016. He can't even get that in line. What are we going to do about the Democrats, about the deep state, about the people who are bigger than the United States, about people like Bill Gates and what influence his money can buy? How is President Trump going to handle Soros if he can't handle these no-name politicians who deserve to be voted out of office? Again, that's Ron Johnson, who is a frequent terrible person, and James Lankford, trying to save money by erasing history. If you can't bring them into line, how is he going to fight the rest of this? And those people, surely they don't want Joe Biden to win. Disaffected Trump supporters don't want a Biden presidency, just like we don't want Hillary Clinton to ever be anywhere near the reins of power. But come Election Day, they may say, you know, I don't want to go. I don't want to go wait in line for 3 hours. It's not that important to me. That's my great fear. President Trump needs the same. He needs greater enthusiasm than he had in 2016, and he should have it. He has all the cards. He has everything he needs. All he has to do is play the right hand, and we can handily go in to 2020 with a mandate that will truly allow him to make America great. But it remains to be seen, and it remains to be seen if President Trump can beat the Republican Party into something like a normal political system that isn't just Democrat light. And of course, it really is his election to lose. We've seen push poll after push poll about Joe Biden showing he's 15 points ahead. No, now he's 16. Now he's 20, 30 points ahead. It all does feel a little bit like the end of the election cycle in 2016, doesn't it? Where Hillary Clinton, she had 105% chance of winning. It was inconceivable that President Trump should be able to win. Hillary will be crowned. And then, of course, the night dragged on. It became apparent to anybody with a brain and a calculator that Trump was going to be our next president, but they refused to call it until 2 or 3 in the morning because even the media couldn't believe it. They had their polls. Well, we're seeing that now. It remains to be seen if the polls will be accurate this time or not. I would tend to believe not. And Biden, for his part, he doesn't believe in campaigning anymore. President Trump has, of course, been joking about this, saying that he's hiding in the basement and won't come up for air, and he's not running his campaign. People are running it for him, but it certainly looks like that's exactly what's going on. Yesterday, in his bizarre speech, I suppose you call it a press conference, where he called on a pre-selected list of media, saying, Jamie AP, is Jamie AP here to ask me a question? They handed him a list. It's not how a press conference works. And he came out and said that there will be no campaign rallies because he listens to the doc. And that doc would apparently be Dr. Fauci. Joe Biden held a campaign event and at one point revealed that there will be no future rallies due to the possibility for COVID-19 to spread. This is the most unusual campaign, I think, in American history, said Biden. But I start off with a premise, like that I'm going to follow the doc's orders, not just for me, but for the country. Do we have that video? Let's go ahead and air Biden calling off the campaign.
It's the most unusual campaign, I think, in modern history. In that, but I start off with the premise, Mike, that I'm going to follow the doc's orders, not just for me, but for the country. And that means that I am not going to be holding rallies. I am not going to be, for example, you all are here, but thank the school has put those circles around so we keep the social distancing. Everybody has masks on. As soon as I finish this, I'll put my mask back on.
So obviously he is a insane person, and he, as President Trump recently said, is being run beautifully. But he has no idea what his campaign is doing. He has no idea what he's doing. He's been told the Spanish flu is back and he must cancel his rallies. Which normally, if a candidate cancels all future campaign events until further notice, you generally assume they're not doing well and they're going to lose in record numbers. We'll see if that happens, or maybe not campaigning is the best solution for Biden. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see as the months go on. Don't go away. You're watching The War Room.
The 4th of July 2020 special has gone into high gear. We have 50% off Body's really strong extract of turmeric formula. It's been sold out for months. That's back in stock. DNA Force Plus with the PQQ, the CoQ10. So good for your cells. So amazing. That's back in stock. 50% off. Winter Sun's been sold out for over 3 months. It's back in stock. Pure, high-quality vitamin D3 taken under the tongue. Greater absorption. So good for your whole body. So essential. That's back in stock. Ultra 12. Super high-quality B12. Again, taken under the tongue. That is back in stock. Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine Spray. 33% off. And so much more. So I want to thank you all for this July 4th coming up for standing with us. And I want to invite you to take advantage of these great deals and great products that enrich yourself and your family's life and also fund Hardcore Truth. Again, take action. Big 4th of July sales right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We could not have done this without you. And I thank you for your continued prayer, your focus, and your support. Again, I salute you all. As we enter the critical month of July, it is very important for listeners and viewers to understand that all of the major storable food companies have been sold out of food for months. My Patriot Supply, our supplier, was out to an 8-week wait, not because they didn't have food, but because their 4 plants were backed up, packaging and getting it out. Now, they are at 3 to 4 weeks right now. They've gotten over the hump. Their other competitors are completely sold out or selling old products.
garbage. This is high quality food. I would advise everyone to do what I'm doing and buy more storable food now before the next big hump comes, because if you think things are about to settle down, think again. The world is only going to get more insane. I've been telling you this for 6 months. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have firearms and ammo and water filtration, you better get it. If you don't have storable food, you better get it. Go to InfoWarsStore.com to take care of the water filtration and to take care of the storable foods. Get your orders in now before the next big rush.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
This is the War Room. I am Tom Pappard, editor-in-chief of National File, guest hosting today for Owen Schroyer, who has been very busy if you've been following his local political activities. Owen Schroyer is too radical for the Republican Party. You know, he wants things like borders and nationalism and America first. So therefore, Owen's not allowed. But I do want to take a moment to remind everybody about this insane sale that is currently going on InfoWarsStore.com. You know, it seems like every time I'm here, the sales just get better. And I really don't know how on earth Alex keeps topping these, how he keeps them going, and also keeps the lights on. But this is your opportunity to ring in the 4th of July and celebrate patriotism by patronizing, by subsidizing, by ballooning an entity that really works for patriots like InfoWars. There's not many media companies like this out here. We all know there's certain cable networks that are better than others. None of them have the ability. None of them have the reach. None of them have the survivability of InfoWars. Anybody else, there could be a boycott. Somebody could go off the air. There could be an angry letter written by some social justice group, the ADL, you name it, the ACLU, and their hosting goes away. They'll be banned from YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, you name it. But InfoWars, this platform, is the one, the only one out there of any note, of any relevance, that is completely self-sustaining thanks to you, the viewer. And so, as of course is happening now, is this ridiculous sale. You can get up to 60% off, plus free shipping, plus double Patriot points. Before you know it, you're not even paying cash. You're paying completely in double Patriot points that you've gained. You have Vitamin Mineral Fusion, which has been sold out for months and is finally back, 50% off. Today's special is Lung Cleanse Plus, which is 50% off. Bodies is back on sale after being sold out for months, 50% off. DNA Force, same story, sold out for months, finally back, already 50% off. Ultra 12, some of the best B12 you'll ever have, and it's the most sweet thing you'll taste in a given day, assuming you're not eating processed sugar. It's been sold out for months. Now it's back, 50% off. The list goes on. You have to check out this sale, InfoWarsStore.com. And you know, I'm really not sure what else we're celebrating this Independence Day, because we're completely dependent. We have Fauci telling us what we're allowed to do, if it's okay to watch football or not. We have Bill Gates telling us that another pandemic is coming, don't leave your house yet. We have the Republicans in Congress and Black Lives Matter with their Antifa allies in the streets telling us where it's okay to drive, telling us what historical figures are okay to remember and which ones must be condemned as racist and forgotten for all time. Really, the only thing, the only people fighting for independence are here at InfoWars, the audience, the activist audience at home. This is the fight for modern independence. This is the 21st century Revolutionary War, and it's not being fought with guns, and hopefully it never will be. It can be fought with ideas. It can be fought with persuasion. It can be fought with red pills to wake enough people up to keep this winning streak that we started in 2017 going. And speaking of Alex Jones and everything he's accomplished here at InfoWars and on banned.video, Facebook, of course, banned Alex. It seems like a million years ago now, but it also seems like just the yesterday. They've also banned Paul Joseph Watson, Laura Loomer, Milo Yiannopoulos. The list goes on and on and on. But did you know that Facebook is not considered woke? Did you know that Facebook is being boycotted by the woke mafia? And not just the woke mafia, they're getting big name brands to boycott it as well. So this is a lovely thing that we keep seeing, actually. We've seen it with Facebook more than any other, but we've seen it with Twitter. We've seen it with YouTube. You have this platform that has done nothing over the past 4 years but censor, deboost, deplatform, rob people of their First Amendment rights. All in the name of fighting disinformation, fighting Russian bots, fighting hate. Remember, that's why Gavin McInnes was banned. That's why Paul Joseph Watson was banned. That's why Alex Jones can't even have a personal Facebook account, because they're all considered dangerous individuals by Facebook. Too dangerous. You can't even run the risk. Get them out. Well, this is a new report from Adweek. All the major brands not advertising on Facebook. Many companies have joined the Stop Hate for Profit boycott campaign because, you see, according to the ADL and the NAACP, Facebook is just raking in millions off of hate. What exactly they're referring to? I have absolutely no idea. Because there is no hate on Facebook. There is nothing. You can't even say certain words on Facebook. You're not allowed to speak. But regardless, we've had Coke. We've had major brands that you buy every single day say that Facebook is so Nazi. Facebook is so right-wing and evil that you can't even advertise on there. So this will be a very interesting thing. This is what happened. Zuckerberg, people went to him. People went to him and Sandberg and said, you need to do something. There is hate on your website. And they did. They erased hate. They banned Alex Jones. They banned Gavin McInnes. They banned everybody. You can't say you support President Trump without being banned. We just had the Project Veritas leaks come out where systemic bans and censorship of conservatives was admitted. If you support Trump, well, they can't get Trump for saying something bad. But if you quote the president, they can sure get you. That's how Facebook operates. That's what we learned, but it's still not enough. You can never appease these people. I don't know if Mark Zuckerberg is a bad person. I tend to believe he's not the greatest. But this is what happens when you try to appease the digital mob. Just like when you try to appease the physical mob in person, you give them what they want, they go away for a little while, and they come back demanding more. Alex Jones calls this paying the pirate. You can pay the pirate, and he'll go loot another ship today. But tomorrow, when he needs more loot, he's going to come back around. He's going to remember that you paid him, that you gave him what he wanted. And he's going to expect more. And if you don't give him more, then he will take it. That's what we're seeing now with Facebook. And I predict we'll see this with other social media platforms. And I hope that this will finally inspire President Trump to attack from the right. Do it further. Do it vocally. Do it viciously. With the same viciousness they use when they deplatform conservatives, when they ban people for having the wrong opinion. It's a legal opinion, but it's the wrong opinion, so they're banned for hate. Go after them with the same fervor. President Trump was just suspended earlier this week from Twitch, the video game streaming website, because they said President Trump engaged in hateful conduct both in a 2016 rally and the Tulsa, Oklahoma rally that just happened last month. What did he say that was so hateful? Well, President Trump called a subsection of illegal immigrants rapists and criminals. What did he say at the Tulsa rally that was considered hateful conduct worthy of being suspended? Well, President Trump referred to illegal immigrants as rough hombres. That gets you banned from Twitch if you're a conservative. We've seen Twitter lock his account. Facebook is almost certainly deboosting his account. He's down 20%. I'm sorry, 45% as of 2 years ago. It's time to fight back against big tech, because they need to get it from both sides. They'll never want to be the Republican Party's friend, but if we don't stand up and push back, The left is going to keep pushing them even further and further to the left. Before you know it, they will ban President Trump. They will ban prominent Republicans who are not in the alternative media. Maybe it'll be Dan Bongino tomorrow. Maybe it'll be Jack Posobiec. Maybe it will be one of the major Fox News personalities. I'm sure they would love to get rid of Tucker. They'll do anything to appease the left, but we're not going to see Jim Acosta banned from Facebook to appease the right, nor do we want that. But there's no reason to let them rest on their laurels. It's time to push back against big tech. When we come back, I want to start breaking down this video with Bill Gates, and it's lengthy. But Bill Gates spoke extensively to the Chamber of Commerce, the number one funding group for open borders, big government conservatives, probably the people who, you know, want to replace Columbus Day with Juneteenth. And they sat down with Bill and Melinda Gates, and talked about the next pandemic and what we can learn and what being in a globalist system requires when it comes to a pandemic response. We'll be right back with that. Later on, we'll have Patrick Howley, senior reporter at National File, to break down the latest COVID news and how the globalists are using it for their continuing goal of controlling our every move. Don't go away.
United Nations is publicly depopulating Africa and many other third world sectors of the world. Bill and Melinda Gates, that control the UNWHO, openly say they want to depopulate brown people. It is absurdist that Apple and Google and Nike have slave factories in China, the worst on the planet, and then lecture white people in America how they're bad to black people. And now all over the world, people are taking knees and trying to overthrow police and put leftists in control. This is a totally sickening, disgusting joke. You ever heard the saying, keep your friends close, enemies closer? Leftists are evil and they divide and conquer people. But at the heart of them is a eugenics-based depopulation operation. Why aren't Black Lives Matter at Cold Springs Harbor in New York, where they run the whole operation trying to topple statues? Why aren't they at the United Nations? Because they're controlled by the UN and being directed by their masters.